Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 365, carrying mental weight. Don't do it. That's all I'm saying. Don't carry it. You can, but you don't have to. That's the key. We almost do it like we think we have to. Like, you ever met someone who's like, why aren't you worried? You should be worried. You must not care. It's like they're worried, so you have to worry. And if you don't worry, then it's bad. It's the same thing. The mountain that you were just supposed to climb over, at some point you began to carry it. And you were unaware that you were carrying it. Therefore, you're not really aware of the effects, the carrying that mental weight has on you mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It can be debilitating if it's run amok, not contained. And for, I would say, 48 years, I consistently carried mental weight. And that, again, I didn't know you could stop thoughts. I didn't know you could think something else, choose thoughts, block thoughts out, change your thinking pattern. I did not know that. Was not aware of it. That's how bad it was in between my two ears. So now I go, oh, that thing that I'm going through, I've been thinking about that a lot. Well, if I'm thinking about it, it's like I'm carrying it. Because A, it either happened and it doesn't serve me to think about it, or B, it hasn't happened and it doesn't serve me to think about it. So I have to deal with it and it's there, but just be aware of it. And there are a couple moments where two different scenarios and at two different times I stopped because I was aware you're starting to carry that weight. You've been carrying that weight. Oh, now you can see that you were carrying that weight. And everything ended really well for me, which again is just 2020. People are going to remember it as the worst year, and I'm saying best year. Best year to be Tom, best year of my life. Now, I think it's somewhat magnified that, you know, I was doing what I'm doing now a year ago. It's just the whole world is doing worse. So I became more thankful. I became more grateful than in a time where the majority of the people are suffering in some way, shape, or form. I'm consistently vibrating higher and evolving and feeling better, and going to keep doing that because I like what I'm getting. I like the moments. I've been telling people it's like little magical moments. Like, you don't have, in my life, magical moments with money, with insurance. You know, with certain things, you just don't have good stories. They're always just kind of tainted with this stigma when they enter your path. And mine has been just filled rose petals. Purple colored rose petals. So thank you for listening. I hope you are navigating your pro you path well. You're deeming yourself worthy. You're making fantastic choices. You're staying thankful in all circumstances. And little by little, you're evolving and becoming a better version of you. That's my hope. That's why I do what I do. And that's what I sell. If you're coming to my well to get water, thank you truly for listening. Enjoy. Be so busy improving yourself that you don't have time to pay attention to anything or anyone that distracts you from your growth. So if you're not focused on you and staying mindful, then that's your problem. Always compare yourself to who you were a year ago, and revel in your evolution. I'm always telling everybody, right now, you're better than you were a year ago. If you're not focused on that, thankful for that, that's your problem. I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that that's not the answer, Jim Carrey. When you truly don't care what the fuck anyone thinks of you, you've reached a dangerous level of freedom, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey said that depression is your avatar telling you it is tired of being the character you're trying to play. If you are depressed, you are living in the past. If you are anxious, you are living in the future. If you are at peace, you are living in the present. Lao Tzu. Walking away from someone or something that treated you badly is not enough. You also have to leave the version of yourself that tolerated being treated like that in the first place. If you don't, history will repeat itself. Case in point, marriage one. Pretty sure I was always trying to, my dad didn't love me, I'll get a girl too, kind of a thing, deep down. So when you're just going for, you need someone to say you're okay. So you're just searching for acceptance. Doesn't got to be a good person. Be like, okay, you can do this for me. You can do that for me. You can run, you know, you can just become a servant to that person. So again, if you don't learn, you don't leave that version, history will repeat itself. Marriage too. How you treat you will be the greatest indication of how everybody else will treat you. The easiest way to attract respect, compassion, and love is to start treating yourself with respect, compassion, and love. I got you. Just control your mind, said the universe. So there's a illustration of like a small crowd of people and then one dude floating up in the air with a handful of balloons whilst flipping off the crowd with his other hand. Everybody just wants to be liked and accepted, except for Tom. Tom doesn't give a shit. And then the quote attached was, be like Tom. And I ain't make it up, but I've seen it a few times on the internet. It rolled around every time it does. It just cracks me up. It's funny. It's just that, you know, they do something, they just use your name. But but the illustrations, it's just hella funny, you know. In one hand's a bunch of balloons. He's kind of floating up, like vibrating higher. And then, you know, it's like he's flipping off the people. And says, Tom doesn't give a shit. And it just makes me laugh. So I post it. And one of my two fans replied, even though you don't care, you and Zen are still loved. Like, well, okay. She missed that completely. Everybody just wants to be liked and accepted. See, you really can't control that. You know? You can't control if you're liked or if you're accepted. What you can control is becoming the best you. And again, that's what I was saying in another quote. Focus on you. Focus on becoming the best you. And if you're the best you you've ever been and you're not thinking of that, mindful of that, thankful of that, that is then your problem. Because worrying about being liked and worrying about being accepted and worrying about getting followers or being famous or all those other things, it doesn't matter. And that's what Tom does not give a shit about. So I replied to that woman. I said, it's what you choose to care about. The best version of you will know what to think about, to choose, to do. No questions, no gray. In Japan, broken objects are often repaired with gold. The flaw is seen as a unique piece of the object's history, which adds to its beauty. Consider this when you feel broken. You live most of your life inside your head. Make sure it's a nice place to be. Whatever you are, be very. I love that one. Life is your teacher, and you are in a constant state of learning. Bruce Lee. Life will give you whatever experience is most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. How do you know this is the experience you need? Because this is the experience you are having at this moment. Eckhart Tolle. And that one I love. That one I shared a bunch. Because to me, you know, for some reason I needed to be educated about a few things. And when Zen got hurt, I was slowly educated about those few things. It's just like, you know, and then the accident happened. I just became really crazy thankful. And it's like, well, that's what I needed to be. Why? Why? I discovered that being thankful is like a superpower. And then you start really focusing on what you can control, what's in your world, you know, what you can be thankful for. And that just builds up a bunch of purple, therefore decreasing the yellow. So all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's less noise, there's more quiet, there's more good. And it's like, well, I didn't plan any of these experiences, but they happened almost like in chronological order for me to slowly improve to become the version I am today. Healing yourself will ask more of you. More rest. More letting go. More acceptance. More evolving. More faith in yourself. More trust in the process. More courage. More compassion. More love. I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become. Carl Jung. So carrying mental weight, the title I just decided was, is legit. It's real. It's a thing. One of my notes on the very top of my dry erase board, you know, I do the sticky notes, stick them on the dry erase board. One sticky note. Tom doesn't give a shit. Smiley face. Like a reminder to read that quote for the podcast. But just funny seeing that note. Tom doesn't give a shit. There's the title. Episode number 365. Tom doesn't give a shit. So carrying mental weight. Tom. Yes, voice. That mountain that you were carrying, you're only supposed to climb. So perfect example. Now I did way better. So here's the dope thing. I'm way better everything in life. Fact. Because I'm better. And one of my sayings is how you deal with a test directly determines the outcome of the test. So my car. Yes. You heard. I got it back and it was all done. And I was thankful that I got my car back because I got used to the rental car and it drove better. But it did not end there. In total, it was 5 weeks and 2 days. And it was that thing where I was, you know, really like, how are you dealing with this? And I'm like, okay, I'm not super comfortable. It's taking longer. I'm not hearing from them. What's going on? And I kept, you know, I had to get in my head going, okay, stop, wait, where's the bad? You need a car, you have a car, and you found out what's being fixed is being paid for. So you don't have to come out of money, you know, come out of pocket for money. So, and I had to talk, you know, I had that little conversation with myself a few times, but it's like, that's part of the reality. I'm not just going to, oh, I flipped the switch and now I don't. It's like, no, you're going to get tested because that, you know, life's going to give you that experience that you need. Like, so you can evolve higher. And I'm like, okay, well, now I'm aware of that little vibration. I'm like, well, why am I thinking about that? And, you know, don't have to carry the mountain, just have to climb it. Get your car back in a week. No, 4 weeks. Oh, you think it's done? No, it's going back for another 3 days. What? Yep. Hey. 5.5 weeks almost. So when I look back, I'm like, I dealt with it fantastic. Why? Because of the result. And here is the thing. When I left the owner, when I initially met with him, who was a friend of mine, said, I'm going to reimburse you for that window. So when I went and picked it up, then there was my stuff from the inside laying on the wet floor, found 2 scratched rims, left, got home, realized there was more stuff, had to go back there to pick up the stuff, come back again. I just wanted to be done. And he never mentioned the reimbursement, so I didn't either. And this is like the pivotal point, because I'm like, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be, hey, it's like a friend going, I'm going to give you $100 at the end of the month. And at the end of the month, the friend just doesn't call you. What are you supposed to call him? Hey, you said you were going to, well, you said it. You didn't write it down. It wasn't signed. I didn't guarantee it. It was just, so I was like, all right, he fixed my car for free. Now, instead of a week, it took 4 weeks. Didn't communicate great, but. Okay, stuff's wet on the floor. Not all my stuff's returned. Scratched rims. Like, I was at the end and didn't really know it. Because 2 days later, I recorded the podcast. Yeah, you got my car back. 2 days later, I found 2 drips, 2 little runs, and this little spot of overspray in the right back corner. Like, why? Because no one went over it with me. No one went over what happened. But I'm like, okay, whatever was over here that you guys tried to touch up, you made it look worse because I know I didn't have any runs. So there's this little thing that just went click. I got to go back to get it fixed. And I was like, 2 things. I go, I don't really want to because I don't know how long it's going to take and what's going to happen now. And I'm like, that's the exact thing I'm going to say to my friend. So I drove there. He wasn't there. I was outside with Zen, car running, groceries, and I called the place, and some brand new person goes, this is the call center. I'm like, yeah, is Ken there? Just, oh, I wanted to see if he's there so you can send him out. What? Who's this? Name, Tom, boom. Yeah, just wondering if Ken's there. This is the call center. It's like he asked me 6 questions, and I kept saying, is Ken there? And I'm like, they have 2 locations, but the other one's closed because of COVID. So it's like, who is this guy? Is Ken in? I just want to say, if Ken's in, can you just ask him to come out? I need to show him something. And the guy kept saying, oh, you can just come in. Well, at that location, you can just walk in. So I walk in. I'm like, is Ken here? And they go, no. And I'm like, oh, I saw this guy, new guy. I never saw him before. And I'm like, you must be the dude. And I'm like, call center was the same phone number that I've called this location, so it's not a different number, and just tell me Ken's not here. Like, and I was just like, because I was not looking forward to calling someone out, because out of like business people, there's 2 I kind of consider friends, and one's my tattoo guy and one's this guy, the body guy. And I'm like, I'm going to tell him what him and his team did wrong. And I'm right. And it's not going to be comfortable. And I don't want anything. But I'm going to tell them. This is now my perception of you and your company. So I basically just waited for him to call me back. He called me back and I said the whole thing. When I got there, there was this. You saw the stuff in the water. 2 rims. Scratch rims left. You know, didn't have all my stuff. Had to come back and get home. Just thankful I'm done. I said, but you said a week. And it turned out to be 4. And I don't mind. But there was not 1 call, no communication. Pick it up, no communication. You said when I left the day 1, I'm going to get you reimbursed for that window. No mention of the reimbursement. I said, I saw how much the insurance was. I said, no one went over where that went. And I'm finally just, I want to get out of here. I get home and I see drips and runs. And I'm like, now I got to go back. And I said, you know what? To my friend, I said, I just thought, well, how long is this going to take and what's going to happen to my car? And I said, I wanted to tell you that. And he just went into like a really cool mode. Just sorry, blah, blah, blah. I made a mistake. Look, you bring it back 48 hours or less. I will get it back. anything else you want fixed, I will, you know, I'll make your car perfect, whatever you need me to do. And I noticed that hole in your bumper, I'll get you a brand new bumper. So it wasn't 48 hours Thursday, but he didn't get the bumper. They delayed the delivery, whatever, and I was totally fine by it. So the next day, Friday, went and picked up. And we had a really cool conversation, and he was outside grilling with his crew, and, you know, he's a good dude, and it was kind of that thing where he's got a, you know, a team, and he delegates authority, and he's like, well, sometimes, you know, when I don't oversee every little thing, things get lost. And I said, well, that's the relationship that we had. I said, I really believe this was an opportunity to, for you to restore faith, and you did. You know, because I, like, my car is amazing. Like, it's 95% new looking. Like, I can find a couple of little bitty things that were there before, but you have to look really hard. And the things, two, three things I could see automatically, gone. And the drips where they messed up, fixed. And now the bumps around the window that I initially went into, fixed. And when I did get home and was just wanted to be done, that back bumper that was the next thing I was going to try to maybe get or whatever, I had put a piece of black tape and it like kind of shriveled up. And I think I explained this. I got a piece of plastic from a notebook inside my house, went out there with six black screws and just put this little piece on. It just kind of looked clean. Like, all right, I can live with that. It's a clean patch, but it doesn't bug me. Versus this piece of tape. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to bring it to Ken's and I don't want to ask Ken about it now. It was that whole kind of yucky vibe. So I'm driving home, and I'm like, 5 weeks, 2 days, doesn't matter, no. Where was the bad? Only in my head. And I was kind of carrying it, you know, a little bit, because it was weight. You know, I mean, it was just that, hey, you're not getting it back. You don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going on. And then, you know, the back and the forth and the miscommunication. So you're, and the great thing was it wasn't bad. I really didn't want to have that conversation. And that morning when I drove there, because I wanted to have it face-to-face, and I also needed to, you know, wanted to show him my car. And then it was that dude on the phone, and that was like, I got frustrated. You know, I was kind of like, look, I'm, you know, I need to be the bearer of bad news and tell someone they're not good, and I don't want to do that, and I want to get it done, was kind of this little vibration going on. And again, I just went home, left, waited. Ken got on the phone. I was totally cool, and he was totally cool. So I dropped it off, boom, picked it up, and I'm driving back, and it was almost the same thing. I'd only been away from it for, you know, 3 days, but I was just in love with my car. And it was, like I said, 95% brand new on the outside. Now, it was, you know, 2016. I got it, you know, right after my accident. So it was, you know, fairly new car. And I, you know, I'd never really had a newer car that looked that good and was that nice. And then I got new rims and new tires and, you know, but then it got a ding and a bang and I did the bumper thing. So all of a sudden I was like, eh, it's like, okay, not new, dinged. And then, you know, I had those dings in that bumper for, you know, a year or two. And now it's like perfect. It's like I just want to go out there and clean it. And I want to keep it shiny. And it's like, you know, top to bottom all the way around. It's and, you know, being raised how I was just into washing cars. Just what I did as a boy with my father. And my father was meticulous and perfectionist, like, you know, to a fault. Where if my car pickup that I got in high school wasn't perfect, I got in trouble. Got a door ding, I got in trouble. So it was completely stressful having this really nice vehicle and living with my father. But I carried that with me a little bit. Like, you know, when I got door dings, I bummed out. And, you know, it was just this. I was like, I got to just let go. Like, you can't have a car and keep it perfect. My father couldn't. I mean, he could fix it up and make it look good, but he couldn't keep it perfect. It was just impossible. So when I got my Jeep, it was just the greatest thing in the world. I mean, it was badass. It looked great. And it was, you know, had dings, scratch. It didn't even care. It was just badass. So it was like one of those things where I wanted to clean it. I wanted to make it look wonderful, but it wasn't this perfect thing. And that's where it was like this big, okay, it's just something you drive. You know, it can't be this, oh, you know, again, my father could not control a lot of stuff. So he controlled a lot of exterior things. How his cars looked, how his home looked, how his yard looked. And it was just this big facade covering up mayhem, chaos. So it was a, you know, number one, how was I during it? I was fine. I really was. For something to go from a week to 5.5 weeks, fantastic job. Was I aware I was carrying some mental weight? Yes. Great. I think you're going to have to, you just will. Something's will get thrown and you'll get tested. But it's like, okay, wait a minute. Now, is there bad? Stop, pause, reflect. Make sure you're climbing the mountain that's present, not carrying it. So the back end of this was, wow, you know, I was going there to spend money. Didn't have to spend money. And I got everything fixed and the bumper. So, I mean, I can't even know, you know, it's like to detail it, touch it up, you know, like everything on a car and the bumper. I mean, I have no idea what that would have cost, but I got all that for free. And I got a check for $450. And I was like, wow, that's just, like, I didn't spend money, saved money, and then made money, and then got everything fixed for free. So how could I care how that really went if at the end it's like getting a brand new car for free, and oh, by the way, here's some money. Like, wow, okay, how'd that happen? I was telling someone, it's like there's like this magic kind of happening. And there was a quote that said, When you learn the value of needing nothing, you attract everything. So my car insurance is due September 6th. And this is, you know, the whole car thing was happening in August up until like the first week of September. So is that, you know, how much money was I going to spend? And I was like, okay, I'm getting some money back. Okay, cool. All right, so that $450 is going to go to my car insurance. But I go, you know, I just got to try to get a couple quotes. And I just hate sitting on the phone. So I had like four different companies I was going to call. And I, you know, was just procrastinating. And it was finally like, I don't know, a couple days ago. And I just got my car back. And it was just like this really positive vibe. And so I'd go, you know what, just do it. Just call. So I called the place. And right off the bat, same thing. And the thing was, is a couple of these little fender benders were my fault. And I think they're like 4 years old. So if you're going back 5 years, I still got a couple things. And the big accident, which wasn't my fault, but it still goes on your record as a claim. And then the comprehensive things I still turned in. So it was like, oh, $1,200 and so, it was like, you know, like a little bit more than I'm paying. Mine was $1,150 for 6 months. And it used to be like right around $600. So it went up to like 7 or 8, and there was a jump, and then, you know, I had to change my address to LA, and then California just gets screwed. It's like known that we get charged more than anyone else for car insurance. But I'm like, in my head, and this was kind of when I wasn't really making, you know, the money I was this year, and going like $1,100. It's like, you know, I'm not even able to get, you know, to the end of the month with rent. But then it's like I got to dip in. It's like, oh, but this month I got to get some money out of the 401k to, you know, I don't quite save enough, you know, during the month to pay for rent. But it's like now I got to get another $1,100. You know what I'm saying? And just six months later, another 1,100. I was just like, and I'm like, look, you got to let it go. You're here, whatever. And so I called, got that quote, and there was this moment where I went, look, you are frantic. You were kind of stressed, and you were letting things get to you, and you were not present, and therefore, that's how you were driving. You know, it's kind of like when I went to Tahoe the second to last time. You know, I was just, how long is it taking? And got a ticket. This time, like, I'm going to go 7 miles over the speed limit the entire way, and I'm going to drive this way, and I'm going to do that, and just peaceful, like, the whole way, no tickets, no nothing. Just, I'm just driving differently. You know, so all the, and it's like, okay, but it's like, look, but you weren't 2, 3, 4 years ago. So, you know, you dance, now you got to pay the fiddler. And it's like, whatever. Okay. And all of a sudden, for some reason, I had this thought. Call my insurance company, which is Esurance. And it was just, I'd never done this before. This is one of the weirdest things. I haven't talked to anybody about it, but it, like, it was like drilled into my head, selling insurance and, you know, whatever. And when you don't own a car, you have to have full coverage. And then I always had a 100, 300, you know, all the different coverages, you know, the most you could have. And I thought, well, when you own your car, you can have less. And I'm like, why don't I just call up and go, you know, because it's nuts. It was like $1,150 was my bill. And I'm like, let me just see if I can, you know, maybe get it underneath $1,000, you know, save $100 or $200, just see what I can do. So I call up and I go, here's the story. I own my car. What can, you know, what's the minimum I have to have? We get to the end and I'm just, you know, going, okay, just, you know, I'm in a good place. My car's fantastic. You know, I got it back, you know, okay. And she goes, $640. And I went, what? And I couldn't, it was like the magical phone call now. All these little magical moments happening. Now I'm a magical, I got my car back. It's fixed. It's beautiful. It's perfect. And I got cash. I'm like, okay, I can handle the insurance. Let me see if I can lower my insurance. I'm like, $640. I'm like, that's almost half. And I was like, I don't know why. And I don't know. It's a thing. Like, it was just in me. Like, you got to have it. Even when I called for the quote, I didn't ask for, well, I own my car. What's the minimum? It was just, what do I have? You know, 100, 300, whatever it was, bought of the energy, 50, 100, whatever those are, I had that. And I'm like, no way. And I was just pumped. And it was this girl. And I was just in the best mood, talking, like not bummed out, not dreading a phone call. And I'm like, I can't believe this. So she punches in some more, you know, just kind of like we're finishing up, right? She goes, okay, the actual total is, and I was like, you know, 640. And she goes, 570. I'm like, what? And she goes, yeah, you must have got some sort of discount. I'm like, I've been paying that $1,100 for 2 years. And it's never been like, oh, good thing I had the maximum amount of coverage, because the two things that were my fault were little small things. And the one, you know, that was, you know, my truck total, that wasn't, had nothing to do with me at all, not my fault at all. So I'm like, well, you know, because I got that, oh, you better drive good. It's like, well, I do. I drive really good. I drive slower. I just drive better. I'm calmer. I'm more patient. I'm just like, well, this worked out perfect. I was talking to a client about something, and I'm like, well, and I shared it. Like, because it's kind of like, I, you know, in 2020, I'm kind of fired up because just the number of the years, and Zen's turning 5, podcast turning 5, I'm turning 55, 4-5 equals 20. It was just this, and then March rolls around, it's my birthday, I turn 55, and I'm just like, best perspective, clarity, best me, I'm just, yay, I just, Zen's good, I'm good, everything's awesome. And then April, pandemic, and the world started changing, and my life didn't. My life got a little better. And then May, June, July, just kept getting better. Got clients, made more money, started, you know, training a couple people for free, you know, reduced someone's rate because they were going through some stuff financially. And I was just, and it wasn't like, okay, well, now you got to work harder and work more and do more. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm doing everything I need to do, want to do. I got perfect balance, harmonious balance. I'm paying my bills. That's all I need to do. It was just like, oh, but here's this moment. Oh, well, here's this really cool, you know, sitting with the coyotes. Oh, well, here's your car back, fixed totally for free, brand new bumper and $450. Oh, now not almost half, less than half. 570. And for some reason, it got pushed back a week. So it's like, okay, so instead of September 7th, September 14th, you'll owe 570. And I'm like, on September 6th, I owed $1,150. On September 14th, I will owe $750 or $570. And I'm like, and I was telling this client, like, I'm kind of telling you this because I'm like, I can't believe it either. Like, it's just good and good and good. And here's the other thing, because it's not all good, it's just how it's turning out. It's turning out based upon how I'm responding, how I'm dealing, coping, how I am in the test. So carrying mental weight. The last time I panicked, I called Mosier, and it was the power went out, and I just got in my car, and I'm like, I'm going to drive and go stay in a hotel. And I was just driving. I'm like, where am I going? How far am I going to drive? Just looking for a hotel. And, you know, then just really gets hot. And I called Mosier. We chatted. And I'm just like, this is kind of mental note. That was the last time I kind of called anybody. Last time I called Mosier for, you know, kind of help. That's the last time I felt that. And we had about a week and a half of really intense heat, upper 90s straight through. And, you know, everything was fine. And it's been in the upper 90s before here in Hollywood. I mean, been in California over 20 years, but been in Hollywood almost 8 now. And all of a sudden I see the forecast for the weekend, which was yesterday and today. And it's 102 on Saturday and 105 on Sunday. And it just stuck with me. And, you know, I'm kind of into weather, and I worry about the heat a little bit because Zen. But I think there was just this little button, because that stayed with me, and I became really highly aware of how much, because I'd ask, like, you know how hot it's going to get this weekend? And they're like, no. And I'm like, doesn't no one know? Like, it gets 90, you know, like this year it's been 89, 91, 93. And that's, you know, in Hollywood, you know, 5-10 minutes from here, it can be 10 degrees hotter. But in Hollywood, it just, you know, doesn't really, you know, get to be close to 100. It's going to be 102 and 105. And I'm like, I mean, 105. I don't know that I've been in California and felt 105. I've been in Palm Springs, been in Vegas. And I'm like, so all of a sudden my head's like, well, the power's going to go out. You know, everybody's going to be like freaking out and draining the you know, the power system or whatever it was. So it's on my head, well, the power goes out. So in the back of my mind, ever since like Monday, Tuesday, you know, and still hadn't had the car. So I know there was a little bit of, you know, like a little bit of hum in the background, which kind of makes you like, hey, what's up? You know, a little off. And then you're like, oh, here's another one. But being balanced out by all the good. And I was handling and I was mindful. But I could really tell that I was like, okay, this weekend. Okay, this weekend. Okay. Because, like, you know, Thursday, it's like 66 at night. And I'm like, okay, in 2 days, it's going to be 30 degrees hotter at night. And I'm like, how, like, trying to put it in my, but I was really totally carrying it, and I could tell it was affecting me. And, you know, and I walk outside for a little bit with Zen, and it's like in the 90s, like, I'm, you know, now, right now, present day, I'm like, I'm not that affected by heat. Like, I'm, oh, not like I want to be out in it, but I'm like walking Zen, and it's, you know, sun's on me, I got sunblock on, but I'm not like, oh, it's like, I think I'm dealing better with heat than I am with actual cold now. But it was just in my head. In my head, and that, like, by Friday, I was like, okay, tomorrow, and it was, and then I had a client, and they're like, yeah, but LA's power hardly goes out because we have our own energy source, and that kind of lightened the weight, and then I realized more that I'm, you know, it's like an old button, hey, if the power goes out, and it's 105, what will that be like, what will that be like for Zen, what are you going to do, and I'm like, maybe I should go buy some ice and go get a cooler and just have it. And, you know, just so it was like this. See, I'm putting time and energy into a story. Hadn't happened. Had a bad kind of memory. So I was, you know, I had energy going backwards. I had energy going forward. And I could tell. Now, this is the beautiful part, people. It was not bad. I was not bad. I was just aware. I was like, oh, you can feel a bit of a deficit in your mood, your clarity, your perspective when you're thinking about the past, or vice versa when you're thinking about the future. So we roll into Saturday, and I got 3 clients, and I'm like, you know, get up after the first one, and, you know, 8:30, 9:30 brings into the park, and I did, and walked around. I was like, it wasn't that bad, and came back, and then took him for 2 more walks during the day, and it was, you know, hot, but I had the AC going and started it early, so it hangs in there. I mean, it got a little hot or less cool, by Saturday evening, last night, because it, you know, got to be about 102 yesterday. So I was like, oh, Sunday, what about Sunday? You know, you don't work, you want to go to the beach. It's like, what's it going to be at the beach? What if it's hot at the beach? And I'm like, you got to get up in the morning, get your podcast done, because that's what you want to do. You just want to get up. You know, and it's like I got the fans on low and the ACs run. It's the quietest it's going to be. So I'm like, just do it now. So, you know, because later on it's going to be hotter and I'm going to want the fans on high. It's like, what about the beach? What about the beach? And then this morning it was all just like I just organized it and it got quiet. I'm like, you're going to get up. And when Zen's ready, because now the park's open, so we go walk to the park, we hang out for a little bit, and then we go for a run slash walk. And I go, just do that. And then come back and record the podcast. And don't think about it. Like, it was just, I know what to do now. Just stay present. Yeah, but I kind of want to know if I want to go to the beach, and what if they say, like, shh, walk your dog. And I didn't bring my phone. I just went, hung out in the dog park, went for the walk. Sundays I don't run. Came back. You know, and it was like, all of a sudden Zen was like, was hungry. I was like, okay. So I give him some food. And he's like, hey, I want to play. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, see, now this is how the day's supposed to be. So when he's finally chilled and going to take his nap, then you record the podcast. And I'm like, okay, so it's going to be, you know, 102 something yesterday, 105 today. AC's on. It'll be fine. And just everything left. And then I thought, well, you know, I've never, like, went to the beach for sunset. I'm like, maybe I should do that. It's definitely cooler a little bit north, and it's definitely cooler at the coast. And I'm like, you know, when it's 3, 4 o'clock, it'll be the hottest, and it'll stay hot in the house till 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock. And I'm like, what? So I might do that for the first time. And even if I don't do a whole lot, I'm in the car, it's AC, it's out of the house, it's a little bit, get there, you know, walk, don't walk, do something, don't do something. You know what I mean? So it's just like this, I loved what happened in my head. Like, I love the process. And then it's like, okay, I don't have any really car insurance stories that are good. I don't have a lot of stories like, wow, I got money. Wow, that didn't cost me. Hey, I saved, you know, like, those are not familiar experiences. Just like doing so well, 2020 was not that familiar. And I kept saying it episode after episode. It's like, look, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but if I'm journaling, which my podcast basically is a verbal journal, I'm going to journal the good. I'm not going to delete it. I'm not going to not enter it. So, and then it's like, well, now I'm getting used to it. It's getting very familiar because, like, every week I got good news. I handled this well, seeing this, doing better than, you know, most people I speak to, you know, able to focus on this, be mindful of this, be thankful in all circumstances. You know, all the stuff I'm selling, the Kool-Aid that I'm asking you to drink. Come to my well, buy the water I sell. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, I said this to a client the other day, like, you know, there's times in my life where during it, I wasn't like, oh, this is good. And I look back on going, okay, that was a good phase, but I wasn't aware because I wasn't present. I'm very present today, and I'm highly aware that this is a great time to be me. The best time of my life is right now. This is the best I've been ever. So I'm removing the heat sticky note. So that's my day today. If it's 105, don't matter. So now I just got random notes. Talking to a woman that I just love dearly. And she's highly talented and highly distracted. So I told her point blank, stop doing everything else you're doing, and all the free time you have should go to your art. And we have a history, a great relationship, and she got it. And I'm like, it's just a distraction. All the other things you're trying to do are just a distraction. And I sent her this text. I go, there is good inside of you that you have yet to discover. Stop being distracted. start the search and find as quickly as you can the best that's inside of you. I mean, that's what I've done. That's what's coming out. Everything I've done in the last 5 years is from within. Everything that's been brought forth, all my good that I'm feeling, I'm proud of, I like, it came from within. I just started doing the work on me. And I love being that person in this person's life. Looking at her and going, look, I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to tell you when it's good. I'm going to tell you when it's bad. I'm just a mirror. And it's like, I've said that before, but it's like now it's like, that's my gift. Like I can just see things that certain people just can't see about themselves. But I believe in the mirror. It's like the mirror's not, oh, sorry. Hey, you shouldn't look today. I'm going to make you feel bad. The mirror's like, here's your reflection. Here's what I see. Not right, wrong, good, bad. Just here's what I see. But then when you can, like, you know, build a history, a relationship with someone, and they trust you, and, you know, everything about them, and you can just go, look, don't do that, do this. Don't feel that, feel this. Don't think that, think this. And they do. I'm done. I'm good. So I had, and I, again, one of these things that I might have mentioned, but I had my sister's cross that I made kind of just for basically a photo op. Gonna take it to the beach, take a picture of it for my sister's funeral when she passed away. And then when I came back, I had these three roses from her funeral. And I said, well, I'll dry them out, hang them, and I'll put them on that cross. And it lasted 8 years. I mean, they're still, I mean, lost some rose petals, but, you know, they're still, you can see them. But, like, they're not that big. They don't look like that nice. And it's like the cross is just two pieces of wood. And it was kind of taking up some real estate in the Zen garden. I'm like, and there was this moment where I was like, well, you can't just take that down. That's the cross you made for Tammy. Like, there was this dun 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 dun, you know. Like, I walked into a church and it said don't touch on the sign, and I was like, I can do anything I want in my house. I can take stuff down, move it, make space, because I just made this really cool frame and put a picture of Zen and I in it, and I wanted to hang it. I'm like, oh, it'll go perfect right there. And I'm like, well, just take the frame down, take the roses off, put the roses somewhere else, and update the frame. You know, it's two pieces of wood. Do something to it. And, man, it turned into, like, the best project. Because I have this other note. It's like, I just love being creative. And I've been really creative lately. Like, I've been making stuff. I was working on, like, three things while I was working on that cross. Because, you know, you paint, stain something, you got to let it dry. And then I ordered some hardware. It's like, finding some really cool metal decorative hardware for things like these push pins, you know, like inch round brass, just really cool stuff. So I, you know, waiting for those to come in, and I get a new idea, and I'm like, okay, I'll cut that. Okay, I'll sand it tomorrow. I'm like, okay, I'm going to work on those things now. Oh, those are dry. I can paint those things. And just like this free flow kind of vibe, and I was so stoked. But when Tammy's cross got done, I was just pumped. I mean, I literally just was like, I mean, I love it. I take something I made, take it off the wall, change it, paint it, sand it, add stuff to it, and go, okay, like, it's better now. And then hang it up again. So, this is a cool moment. These are the things I just love. I've been mentoring a lady for quite a while. And, you know, she just made some great strides. And I know she's aware of how good she is. And I know she's aware of how good she feels, what's not in her head, just how she's vibrating. Or she gets it. But this was just like kind of a random, hey, end of the month, we're going to meet, text. See if you can feel it. Hi, exclamation point. Happy first day of the month, exclamation point. It's that magical time when we get to reconnect at your convenience, of course, Exclamation point. I'm off next Monday for Labor Day. If you wanted to chat after, parentheses, much needed family workout, just so you can prepare yourself. After we all ran a 5K last weekend, I've been running twice since then. I know, right? Who would have thought? Exclamation point. LOL, exclamation point. Anyway, I hope you and Zen are well. Let me know if next Monday works for you. Completely different person. I saw her good, but she did not sound like that a year ago. I don't think she sounded like that 6 months ago. And I haven't chatted with her yet. And I haven't told her about this. But I texted back to her. I just took a picture and sent it back to her. And I said, if I sent this screen photo of this text that you just sent me to you a year ago, number one, would you think it came from you? Number two, would you ever think that this could be from you one day? Three, do you sincerely agree that it is, as always, will always be about you? Four, and it's one of the worst years ever for the entire world. And that's the text that you sent. Five, if you cannot see it with clarity, that is your problem. See you Monday. Very happy, very proud. If she cannot separate, step back and go, wow, look at my verbiage, look at my attitude, look at my new shift in perspective, a new level of clarity. If she can't see that, feel that, embrace that, be thankful for that, that truly is her problem. It's not her problem, but that's my whole point. All these people, like now, just what's coming out of her. That was just a text. Hey, let's meet. But I just saw all the way through it. Like it was just full of light, full of energy. There was no weight. She wasn't carrying anything. So, this is the weirdest thing, man. So, this is, I don't know, like a month ago I saw it. And then like a week ago there was another area. But my mom started following me on social media. And I was just like, you know, she's, you know, never did that. And all of a sudden I saw, like, you know, it wasn't her full name and, you know, no profile picture, nothing. Like, she maybe just got an account so she could follow me. I don't know. It was just block. And like 2 weeks later, it was, you know, one of my Facebook pages. Something was like, block. And there was no thought at all. And that's evolution. That's how quickly, because it's all just gone into two containers now, good, bad, right, wrong, purple, yellow, and I just deal with purple. Anything else, I just cut out. I was trying to connect. You know, there's real connectivity problems, and, you know, all these kids went back to school. So at one, you know, times in of the day, there's millions of people connecting now that weren't. So it's just real, real slow. And I was experiencing some slow connectivity one day, and I got to where I was going to train this person, and we went back and forth for like 15 minutes, and I just said, okay, done. And I just, look, we're not going to connect, we're done. And I just totally moved on, and I sent them a text. And I said, but if you need to chat, you can call. And like 30 seconds, I need a phone call. Hey, what's up? I'm like, I sent you a text. I said, we couldn't connect, so we can't do it. I go, I said, but if you want to talk later after you work out, call me. Oh, not going to. I'm like, it's 15 minutes. We have 15 minutes left. And it's, we can't, you know, I was like I saw, and I wasn't like trying to be condescending. And then I hopefully I didn't come off that way, but I was like, I went to that place so fast and moved on already. And he was still there going, we're not going to, like, we can't connect. I need to see you online. I can't. We've done it, tried it for 15 minutes. We haven't. We can't, you know, we only have 15 minutes left in this session. And I was like, but that's what I mean. I'm just, it's like rapid. It's like high speed, you know, internet versus slow internet now. There's an example. He was still a little bit slower, his internet. Mine was like, boom, done. Not working out. Onward. I'm like, I just, there's problems. And if it lasts this long, then you know, it's not happening. And I'm letting it go. I'm not going to sit here and keep banging my head against the wall. And it was just like when I got the text, a phone call. And I was like, you know, my dad using my mom's cell, leaving a message saying, hey, your mom might have a heart attack. She's having surgery. And this little voice came up and said, well, you're not calling. And I was like, and the other voice is like, okay, well, how are you going to deal with that in turn? You know, so there's like this conversation I had. I knew what I wasn't going to do, but it wasn't a real comfortable feeling. And then about a half an hour later, I was at peace. And then I was like, look what I did. And then I was all highly aware of what just happened, and it just became powerful to me, and it turned out to be the best thing. And I was like, see, and it's like I just start getting these things, and for me there was just clarity. Certain people had a window of 51 years to change, and if they didn't, I was just going to move on. It's very fair to me. I don't have to defend that or justify it to anyone. And at that time, like, okay, cool. We all made choices. Fantastic. Don't hate you. Love you. Best of luck. Bye. But that meant bye. You don't get to not support. Not, you know, love unconditional. And then still see the good. You don't get to see what I'm working on, my dog, where I hang out, my life. You don't get to. There's a cost. There's a price for choices. You know, choose A, get B, choose C, get D. And I ain't mad at anybody. But I'm comfortably committed. I have a high level of conviction into how I feel and what I do. And there was not a thought. But I was like, bloop, bloop. Two buttons I had to push. So this funny little thing happened on the, I'm not big into social media. Like, I do like the minimum, and I do it to kind of get my stuff out. But I'm not one of those people that just sits there and, you know, gets all involved. And I know over the pandemic, people started getting kind of bored, and they started coming out with games and, hey, do you want to participate? And I'm like, you know, my life hasn't changed at all. I'm not doing any more. I still like kind of focus on trying to do less. But a fellow martial artist nominated me for this 10-day martial arts challenge. Post a photo every day for 10 days. No caption, no nothing. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. It was just, I don't know, it was funny, kind of cute, whatever, nostalgic. But it was kind of a cool thing just to do, you know, because it's like I've posted things, you know, Flashback Friday, and you know, you go through your archives and you pull something out. But just to be forced to go back and relive those things, it was just kind of cool little moment. And then people that, you know, the guy that nominated me, he's got a bunch of, because I don't really talk to anybody anymore. You know, like I don't really consider myself an active martial artist where I talk, rap, hang out with anybody that does anything about anything. You know, therefore I had no one to nominate myself. I mean, I really don't talk to anybody that I ever kicked with. I don't, you know, I'm just not that guy anymore, you know. I hang out with a pit bull and I balance stones. So just hearing And at one point, this is total an ego thing, but this guy posted the thing going, "Hey, you worked out with this, you know, black belt so-and-so," and he referred his name, and the guy that nominated me said, "Yeah, he was great when he worked under him. He was, you know, this way. He was badass, hardcore, blah, blah. The, you know, only people I ever trained that were as fast as him were so-and-so, so-and-so, and Tom Dieters." And I was like, that was kind of cool to hear because, you know, it's like these older guys rapping about the past, and in my style, Tung Soo Do, you know, there was a period, you know, probably a decade or so where Minnesota, our team, me and my kicking buddy, you know, we were kind of really well known and did really well. And then someone else posted something, and they posted a picture of this guy nominated, a kicking buddy of mine and me, and they're like, "Wow, that's real Tung Soo Do history there. You know, so-and-so, this guy, and Tom Dieter." And it was just kind of funny. Like, this isn't meant, it's not sad. It's just me. But there are people that are super connected with external things. And I've become aware of this for a long time. Like a long, long, long time ago, I went with my ex's relatives to a football game. And they were hardcore San Diego Charger fans. And they were playing Denver. And at the time, Tim Tebow was the quarterback. And I told him, "Look, I'm not hoping, rooting for the other team." But I said, "I'm a Tim Tebow fan." And but just that whole thing about they were so into, like, the game and angry and hated the fans and hated the other team. And, I mean, it was real deep, dark feelings and just connected. And they lost. And, you know, they got all hammered before tailgating. And halfway through it, their team was losing. It was just this, like, I'm like, just to be so connected. Like, they were so fired up. And then they were so just destroyed and angry and pissed. And I was like, it's a game. And I'm like, just stuff like that, I'm just not going to be connected to. And like I said, I just kind of move through and I kind of change. And I kind of like, okay, that was something I did, but it's not who I am. And that wasn't, you know, until way, way, way later. Like I'm saying, I'm probably in, you know, late 40s into my 50s where I started kind of realizing, and especially just even now, you know, with the whole ego thing and vibrating higher and evolving, I'm like, I'm not any of that. You know, I try not to have I at all. I'm just trying to be. You know, I'm just trying to be like Zan. I'm just trying to be like my dog. So I don't have these attachments to, like, things I did, places I were, you know, people. I mean, just there's no, I don't have that, like, connection. It's like I have this connection now to the energy that I feel in this room. You know, like with Zen, it's like, here I am. I'm connected. I'm present. I'm recording a podcast. Like, that's all I am right now. And when I see someone who's like, you know, "Oh, weren't those, I mean, those were great moments, but, like, you know, kind of that the best days were gone and they used to, now they don't." And I'm like, yeah, I used to fight, I used to kick, now I don't. But it's like, and I don't do anything. It's like, no, I do other stuff now. And stuff that's way more intriguing, way more fascinating, way more fulfilling. You know, I posted one of the pictures of me with a bunch of trophies. And no one asked, but I'm like, those weren't even all my trophies. Those are just the trophies I left in Minnesota. Like, I left the 2 boxes of trophies. And then when I was in Vegas for those 10 years, I had a ton of trophies in Vegas. And then I left those all out at the end of my driveway in the garbage when I went to California. So, you know, those are the greatest things in the world to me at the time. I walked into a stadium gym and I'd walk right up, go to the black belts, go to middleweight, go to sparring, go to first place, and I would look at my trophy. I'd go, "Okay, I'll come get you in a few hours." And I typically would. You know, some places, you know, they'd give money. But we didn't get money. We didn't get anything. We just got a trophy and I loved it. I lived for it. Why? Well, it's 20 years, you know, in my 20s. Not a lot else feel good in my life. I was in shape. I was young, and I could fight, and I could win, and I won trophies. And I was like, ha, there. I did it. I won. I'm a good person, and my father will have to like me. Oh, he likes me less because I'm in karate doing well. But like I said, now I look back, you know, and it's like nothing to do with me. It's something I did. Just something I did. And I said, it's cute to look back and look at these. And like I said, but totally, totally, totally changed. And at one point, like when I was in karate, I would see these old dudes and I thought, that's kind of cool. Like he's in his late 40s and he's still sparring. I'm like, that's kind of cool. I'd see someone compete at a tournament, you know, the senior division or whatever. I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. And I kind of always thought that would just be me at the time because, you know, karate was everything. But again, you evolve and you become everything. So I had a client, and I mentioned before, Dan the engineer, and it was just a phenomenal story. I just always said how good this guy was. And this came to fruition with one of the worst, like, bad news happened. And it provided the most excellent moment. So I mentioned on a podcast that running was taken away. And he was really kind of frustrated. Air quality, took the week off and couldn't run. Next time I chat with him next week, he had let it go. Like he had had an epiphany. There was a shift in everything about him. His energy was different, calm. And he was already going, well, here's how I can become a better parent. And here's what I did. And this is how I'm looking at it. And, you know, I appreciate. And it was just like this, just next level. I was like, wow, fantastic. And he could start running again. Following week, get a text. Guess what? Heard a big pop. Snapped something in his calf. Now he's done running. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you know, unknown at this point, but definitely done running for a while. And in my mind, I'm like, perfect. Now again, I'm not happy he got hurt, but he got hurt. That's done. So now I can look at it and go, and see, this is just, again, life going, okay. He was a little bit too attached to, I got to run. Because that's how he survived. He needs to learn that how you survive is not necessarily how you want to continue to live. But we're not going to stop and change. And I right away thought, oh, I'm going to make him do this workout, this upper body workout. So he's going to take a break from running and he's going to, you know, focus on his upper body. And he's never done that. This is all before I met with him. And I was just getting so excited because it was like, look, this is the perfect thing. Like I could just see his path going, here's something you had to kind of deal with. You had to let go and you weren't going to let it go. You weren't going to take 2, 3, 4 weeks off from running and see how else you could, you know, improve in other areas. No one would do that. I wouldn't, you know, we just don't. As in my life. Hey, I'm going to, you know, hope Zen gets hurt so he can be in a splint so him and I don't do anything for 3 months. Nah, didn't write that one down. Didn't plan that at all. Did I benefit from it? Wholeheartedly, 100%. How you respond. So also in this text exchange, the next one after I'm hurt, calf popped, can't run, was I'm truly looking forward to this. And I was like, I was so right about this dude out the gate. He's so good. And I was like, what does he need from me? And then I was like, oh, I just happen to see what he can't see. So there's my gift. There's my, you know, purpose. I'm going to get him to see what he needs to see. I'm going to get him to see what I see in him. And he's like, I can't run. I'm hurt. I'm excited to see where this goes. It was like, that was the moment. That's the best that dude has ever been in his. He's never been able to be in that place mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. To have, I know what running was. And when it was almost just delayed with bad air quality, it affected him. Now it's totally taken out, black and white, no question, for at least 3 weeks. At least. Could be longer. And home skillet was totally fine, totally calm. And that made me more excited. Because I was already excited going, dude, I'm going to have this guy work out, you know, sit on the ball and do a full body thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, now he's already cool. Like, he's already cool about it. And I don't even have to, like, convince him of that. And he's excited. And I'm like, how great of a moment is that? And then it was yesterday morning, talked to him. And I'm like, dude, we're going to work out. And, you know, I just went off. And he was just right there, receptive, learning the benefit of letting go of that which you cannot control. Don't carry the mountain. You're just supposed to climb it. It's not easy climbing it, but it's way, way, way easier climbing it than it is trying to climb it and carry it. And we're gonna, once in a while, things happen and we get thrown something by life and we're like, we're all that. You just go, wow, wait a minute, hold up, what? I was carrying that. Like, if I'm thinking about that thing, that question, that choice, that outcome, if I'm thinking about it, I'm literally carrying it. Just wait until you know. Wait until you find out. Wait until you get the answer. Next indicated step. Then move forward. Until then, don't carry the mental. Wait. If you do, just recognize it. Ask it to leave. So I just start doing this thing. Stop. Just go like a mosquito. I actually had this thing. Think of you're sitting there and thoughts are like mosquitoes. So you're sitting there and you're outside and you're doing whatever and a mosquito comes up and you fly. It's mosquito or fly. Go ahead, you pick. And you swish it away. You're not bad because one entered your zone. But if you just sat there and let that mosquito land on you and just start sucking blood from you and then you get a mosquito bite and it itches, you really can't blame anybody but yourself. What you allow to continue will. So, just whisk it away. Thought, stop. That thought came in. Wow, it must really be bugging me. Okay, I'm just going to really not think about it. Okay, block it out. Hey, what? Question yourself. Catch yourself. And say, you know what? I'm gonna do something right now to occupy this monkey mind. Because if I don't give my monkey mind something to do, it's going to run with that thing. And all of a sudden that becomes a muscle. And all of a sudden that muscle gets bigger, stronger, better. And you're sitting there going, I'm like the ruler. Like the complete dominant overloading ruler of my kingdom. Now, it's very, very tiny and small, not that fancy, but I'm total king of all kings of that little world, my world. And it was kind of, like I said, it was like, oh, you had your car away. I guess this isn't that great of a time. Oh, you got car insurance coming due. I guess you're not doing that well with money. You know, it's like, you know, these things are going to come up and, you know, by just a little bit of a hum, you know. And but for it to be a hum instead of like a rattling, thunderous earthquake. It's like, again, I've said this word this past week. Just magic. Like, it feels like there's just this little magic happening now. And again, I'm not trying to get anything from anybody. But I would love it if everyone listening, my clients, the people I mentor, started kind of experiencing some magic. These little special moments. And you're like, wow, how did that happen? Wow. How come these little cool things are? How come I'm attracting this stuff? It's a good time to be me. And it might just be a really good time to be you. If you deem yourself worthy. Because you are worth it. welcome to your Pro You moment. Stoked you're here. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into the spine. Let's draw that inhale through the nose. We'll allow the exhale out the mouth. Let's slow it down. We're going to elongate both of them. To do that, we're going to have to connect the mind and body. That's going to make us present. And if we focus on that, it will keep us distracted from everything else. Anything else enters, just calmly, quietly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. Total success. See, that's the power of the little things. You get done, you get to feel fantastic about it. Set a goal. Sit there, be still. 180 seconds, done. Victory, touchdown, winner, winner. Chicken dinner. I mean, to take pressure off yourself. Really focus on that. I was talking to a client the other day, and I said, you just got to think of it as this little drop. Just give you that one little drop a day. Just drop that drop. Just one lightly, delicately, with intention. Just check that box. Do that little thing. Don't think. Just do. Because it's just hard to explain how that momentum builds when you do something little for yourself and it feels good, and you do it again, it feels good, and you understand that, and it clicks and it becomes power, and you start to build on that. Therefore, it becomes part of your foundation that you build on, and then it becomes a muscle and it becomes stronger, which just empowers you to go, I want to do that again. I want to find something else that I can just dwell on that makes me feel better, that I can do little by little consistent work on and have become this large stone in my foundation that I can then build upon. And see, just that alone, that statement, if you're focused on that, you're blocking out all the other stuff that doesn't matter. You're not carrying anything that you needn't carry. If you're focused on what's important, what you have, what's in front of you. My story is what's possible. I've left a verbal roadmap via ProU Podcast. And I'm still walking the walk. And I shall continue to talk the talk. Peace and God bless.